Guys, you are awesome, and I'm excited to be with you tonight. We have been in a series over the last... Oh, yeah. Thank you, Saul. So over the last few weeks, you guys, we've been in a series. Now, this should be great. Thank you so much, Saul. You're the man. The series we've been in has been called Life, and over the last few weeks, Brady has been sharing with us here about the life that God has given us, and this isn't going to work, but you're the man, Saul. You're the man. I'm not taking anything away from you. You're the man. Guys, we'll get started at some point. It's okay. Maybe just check your fantasy football scores real quick. That makes sense for three of you. You're like, football? So we've been talking about life. Let's see what happens, right? It's a risk, but I have to be able to see it or it won't help. Some of you guys feel awkward for me right now. I don't feel awkward at all. It's awesome. Man, life is so beautiful. We've been talking over the last few weeks about the life that God has given us and what it means to live this life the way that he intended it to be lived. If we think about our life, what our life is, what it's comprised of, the major elements of our life, we kind of think from kind of the inside out, the things that are most important to us, the most core things to us, and then the things that go from there. And I think it's very obvious that our relationships are incredibly core to who we are. Brady talked about that a few weeks ago and what it looks like when we begin to look at our relationships instead of a way that can serve us or meet our needs or fulfill our needs, but a way that we can reflect who God is to the world as we serve one another. And he talked about how that overflows into this beautiful thing called community that God has placed us in, that he's placed us in a community where we don't endeavor to come together just to get what we need, but we come together so that as we learn from one another and as we learn from God, that we're able to go out into the world and make a difference and live the life that God has called us to live in the context of community. We talked about stuff last week. I think stuff, it's one of those things that we wouldn't necessarily say matters more to us than people, but we're often very, very willing to give our time to things. We're often willing to give our energy to things. But man, to give our stuff away or our money away, it becomes a little bit more challenging. It becomes a little bit more daunting for us. And so we talked about this reality that we live in a reality, in a world, in a situation where we have so much opportunity to make an impact on the world because we've been given so much. I don't know if you know this, and I'm not sure if Brady talked about this last week, but in America, we live in such a privileged society. We are in the top several percent of wealthy in the world. And you're here going, Joel, I'm in the college program. Trust me, I am not in the top percentage of wealthy in the world. And that may be true, but if you have a roof over your head and you have transportation and you have spare change, you're actually in the top percentage of most wealthy in the world. And Brady talked about what it looks like when we recognize that that's a privilege that God has given us to be able to make an impact in the world. It changes everything. And this week I'm here to talk to you about circumstances. You know, the life that we lived, it's comprised of these few things, the relationships that we have and the community that we're in and the things that we have at our disposal. But also we find ourselves in life in a set of circumstances. And our circumstances in a room like this would range from all kinds of walks of life, from different ethnicity and racial backgrounds, from different socioeconomical backgrounds, different family dynamics. There are so many different circumstances that we were literally born into in this life that we didn't choose for ourselves. They've just kind of been given to us. And there's a large set of our circumstances that maybe we've had a role in shaping, that we've played a role in. Uh-oh, is it happening again? You guys are all terrified. I was wondering what you were so terrified about. I'm like, are they really that worried that I'm going to talk about it? This is a struggle. That's all right. It's okay. You know, it is a perfect illustration for what I'm talking about because the reality is I can barely control whether or not I can allow this music stand to hold my Macintosh computer while I speak to you guys for the next 2 hours. I can barely control that, and yet I'm in a life that I'm living in. There are circumstances swirling around all the time, some of which are under my control, some of which are under my influence, and some of which are completely out of my control, and yours too. And sometimes our circumstances weigh on us so much because it seems often that we are helpless to affect our circumstances. You see, God has given us this life, and he's given us relationships and community and stuff and circumstances to be able to use to show people who God is. But so often in our lives, we're kind of just driven by our circumstances. We're driven by how our life is going. You know, people ask the question, how's it going? And often we just kind of answer the question, fine, because we really don't want to be honest with one another. But the reality is all of us are dealing with a set of circumstances in our lives. And some of them are great circumstances. Maybe we're excited about life. We just got that promotion that we were hoping for. Maybe we just got that boyfriend or that girlfriend we were hoping for. I almost just got a new girlfriend on accident tonight. I walked up and there's a young lady here in a yellow shirt. She's with blonde hair, and my girlfriend has a yellow shirt and blonde hair. And I walked into we're worshiping here. We're worshiping, singing songs to God. And I almost placed my hand on this girl's back, which would have been awkward, right? And I was like, oh, you're not my girlfriend, you know? And we find ourselves all the time living our lives in circumstances that we can control, circumstances that we can't control, circumstances that surprise us, make us feel real awkward, right? Poor other person, that girl, she's like, oh my gosh, he's the one with the microphone? How did this happen? But the truth is, you can't control life's circumstances. There's a certain amount of influence we have, but we just can't control life's circumstances. And God has given us these circumstances, so what's our responsibility in this story? See, you can't control life circumstances, but you know what? You can care for your life within your circumstances. That phrase, caring for your life, what does it look like to care for your life? Consider that for just a minute. You've been entrusted with this thing called life, and God is asking you to care for your life so that you can live out your circumstances in a way that makes him look glorious. What does it mean to take care of your life? Now, if you're anything like me, just the thought of that stresses me out. I can barely take care of a plant without letting it die. And to think about taking care of my life in such a way that it would inform my circumstances and that would translate into making God look beautiful, that just seems really difficult and really out of reach. But the beauty is that we have been given the life that we have been given. And God is inviting us to step into his story, to engage in the life that we've been given with our relationships in our community and our stuff, and yes, even our circumstances, so that we can glorify him. But in order to be people who can live in such a way that regardless of our circumstances, we're able to display how glorious God is, we have to care for our own life. You know, God modeled this for us. In the beginning, God created everything that we see. He created the stars and the galaxies. He created the earth and its ecosystem. He created animals and plants. He created, at the crux of his creation, he created mankind, men and women who would bear his image in a way that would reflect God to the rest of the universe, to every angel that's ever been made, to every other human being that's ever been made, to all the animals and all the creatures, and even the living, breathing land, that God would allow us to display and reflect who he is. That's what God did when he created us, and it's an amazing thing, but God modeled this incredible thing for us after he created the world in 6 days. It's one of the most interesting things to consider and ponder, because we believe that God is an all-powerful God, has no limitations whatsoever, and he created this galaxy and universe and everything that we see and know in 6 days by the word of his mouth, which is incredible to believe. But then the Bible records that on the seventh day, he did something pretty strange. If you're the God of the universe and you can speak worlds into existence, and 6 days you create, on the seventh day, God chooses to rest. How odd. Does that not strike you as a little bit strange? That God chose, the all-powerful, omnipotent, omniscient, eternal God chose to create all that we know and all that we see and then rest. That as he surveyed everything he created, he looked and he rested. And it's this concept that he calls Sabbath. And tonight we're going to talk a little bit about what it looks like to care for our souls, to care for our life, to care for this thing that God has given us, the thing that's internal, the most core to who we are, this thing called the soul. We're going to talk about what it means to take care of our soul in such a way that no matter what is going on around us, that inside we're good. That inside we are demonstrating the peace that God designed us to live in. See, God created the world in 6 days, and he created Adam and Eve. And after creating Adam and Eve, he rested. And he wanted to demonstrate to us this rhythm that he's created us to live in, where we work for a few days and then we retreat from our work and we Sabbath, we rest, we take time to just spend with God in community and in rest and peace and relaxation. And our culture doesn't really lend to that, does it? Think about your own life for just a second. Most of you guys work at Walt Disney World. How many of you guys have been here long enough to be able to request one day, consistent day, shift time to your own self? Yeah, like two of you guys. And request and get are totally different. Yes, thank you. Because the reality is that the culture that we live in, it's not really built around the health of an individual, is it? See, the culture that we live in is actually built around the almighty dollar. And everything that we do, everything that our culture is doing and saying is that we've got to produce. 6 days we produce, and on the seventh day, we produce some more. See, that's the motto of our culture. We work and we live and we breathe 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We work and we work and we work to accumulate more stuff. We work and we live and we busy ourselves. Even when we're not working, we're connected, aren't we? Think about your phones for just a minute. 10 years ago, if you wanted to talk to someone on the phone, you had to call them. It's this thing you did where you dialed numbers. Sometimes 7 numbers. Sometimes if it was a long way away, you had to add 3, which is 10. I was literally like, I was sitting here going, 7 plus 3 is 10. Wait, I'll just say add 3. That's better. But we called each other on the telephone, and then sometimes we wouldn't get a hold of that person, so we would leave them a message with another human being who had answered the phone, right? So different. See, now we just send off a text at any time of day. I get texts at 12:30 in the morning, and I'm thinking, what are you doing? Why are you texting me at such a time? I should be sleeping. I'm not, but so should you, right? Why are you texting me at this time? And we're constantly connected to our phones. You know, a lot of times in the morning, I have a cup of coffee, go to the bathroom, and I think, I gotta grab my phone. What else am I gonna do? In the bathroom. We're so connected. We have no peace. We have no reprieve. Even the things that God designed our bodies to do to get us away from it all, we've found a way to stay connected in the process. And you're like, yeah, that's gross. And I'm like, yeah, you do it too, okay? You're on the gram. I know. You're clicking, double-clicking photos. I know what's going on, right? But we're so connected. We have no space. I am the worst at this. Brady called me a while back, and he was like, hey, can you preach on this weekend? And would you rather preach on stuff or soul care? And I was thinking, well, stuff, I don't seem in my brain, I don't feel like I really struggle too much with selfishness, you know, that kind of stuff. I like to give if I can financially. And yeah, I'll preach on that. I'm terrible at soul care. You preach on that. And Brady said, you know, maybe you should talk about this, because let me just be honest before you guys tonight. I'm a pastor. I get paid to love Jesus and to read the Bible and to know God and to communicate what I know and who I know and all of those things to people. It's actually like a large portion of my job description is to know Jesus really well and to help other people know Jesus better. That's really, if you were to boil down my job description to one sentence, that's it. Now, there's a lot of other things that go into that, and I get busy like everyone else in any other job, but this is hard for me. I'm really bad at this. My life is so connected. I rarely have any boundary. I rarely give myself any space. It's rare for me to take time to just breathe and sit and listen and pay attention to what's going on in the world around me, what's going on with God, what's on his heart for my life. Prayer is a struggle for me. I struggle to pray. Prayer's hard. It takes focus and it takes attention and it takes some separation from my daily life, and I struggle. I like to fill my time with things that keep my mind from racing. You know, I've always got things going on in my mind a mile a minute, and I like to detach from that. Late at night when I'm trying to go to bed, I like to unwind and, you know, check my fantasy football or whatever Florida State is doing in college football. I'm reading news about it, or I'm playing NCAA football on the PlayStation. I'm so mad at the person who told me we had that game in our house. Like, I never played video games. And then I was like, we have NCAA football? And now I'm like, But I'm so connected to the world around me and to technology and to my busy life and to my busy schedule. And the thought of stopping and resting is just so hard. And God demonstrated to us after he created the world that 6 days we're supposed to work, and on the seventh day we're supposed to rest. That there's a rhythm that God has built into us. It's this kind of a 6-1 type of rhythm where we pour out and then we take in, so that we can pour out and then we take in. And it's hard to do that in our culture. You know, I've been thinking and praying for you guys and for this message and how it may affect you. And I think to myself, what's the life of a cast member? And there's so much work and so many hours and so little pay. And when you're not scheduled, you're trying to pick up shifts so that you can make ends meet. And when you're not working and you're not able to pick up a shift, because so often there's no money to go do, you know, trips or fun things or whatever you may want to do, you're in the parks with friends, right? You're going to visit other cast members in their workplace, and you're going and you're going and you're going, and it's not bad stuff, it's just there's no rhythm to that. We live in a culture and a society that doesn't really call us into that at all. But God is calling us into caring for our souls. And there are things that we need as human beings to care well for our souls. And more than anything, we need God. and it seems like trying to say that, like, oh, you need God, you know, like, but we do. We need God desperately. And so God knew that, and he designed us in a way because he's the best thing ever. He designed us so that we would need him. It wasn't selfish on his part, like he's this egotistical maniac and he's like, well, I'm going to create these people to need me so I can feel needed. No, God needed nothing before creation. He had everything he needed within himself in the Trinity. Between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, there was perfect love and community, and he had no need for us. Yet out of an overflow of his love, he chose to create us, and he created us needing the best thing in the world. Because he wanted to give us the best thing in the world, because he's a good God and he loves us. It just so happens that the best thing in the world is him. So he created us to need him, and he knew that we are prone to wander. He knew that it would be hard for us to stop and take him in. And so he gave some commands. You know the Ten Commandments that he gave the people of Israel in the Old Testament? You can find them in Exodus chapter 20. The Ten Commandments are there. And there's a lot of thou shalt nots, right? Because just like every two-year-old, we need to be told no, right? If you've got nieces or nephews or brothers or sisters that are young, you know you don't have to teach them to fight. You don't have to teach them to hit. They just know inherently how to do that because we are wicked human beings. And God knew that we needed him. And so he added to this thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not list with this command. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. What is the Sabbath day? Day. What is that? What did God mean by the Sabbath? What God meant is that we would engage with him, that we would work for 6 days, and on the seventh day we would pull away from all that work and toil and labor and take him in. That we would look upon our proverbial field and we would take him in. We would work the field for 6 days. We would work our life. We would do our life for 6 days. And then there would be this rhythm where we would come away and spend time with him. I want you guys to grab your Bibles, and I want you to turn to a scripture that describes what the Sabbath was meant to be. It's in Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. If you're in the Mosaic Bibles, you'll find Isaiah chapter 58 on page 399 in our beautiful blues. If you don't have a good Bible, we want you to take one of these, put your name in it, and read it. As Brady says, we are fans of the author. We believe God wrote the Bible, so we're big fans of God. You should read his literature. He is fantastic. Isaiah chapter 58 in verse 13, the prophet Isaiah is writing to the people of Israel about this concept of Sabbath. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, he says, from doing your pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable. If you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So the prophet Isaiah is saying is, look, if you will just be obedient to me and you will set your heart on this idea and on this concept of Sabbath, where you disengage from all of your work, you disengage from all of the things that you think will bring you pleasure on this earth, and you engage with me and you take pleasure in me and you take delight in me. This is such a great verse. He says, then I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. Man, what does that mean? What does it mean that God will make us ride on the heights of the earth? You guys, we're all living in a whole lot of circumstances, every single one of us. And there's a lot of people who think that as long as we love God really well and go to church enough, that our circumstances will always be great. We'll get the closest parking spots. We'll have a great self-image. We'll be prosperous and have a lot of money in our bank account. But that's actually not true. What this scripture is saying is that when we take delight in God, that regardless of our circumstances, God will make us transcend them. That as we delight in the Lord, he will make us ride on the heights of the earth. See, we live life in circumstance. Every one of us does. And none of us can control our circumstances fully. And what God is calling us into is this rhythm of saying, hey, go engage in the world that I've called you to engage in. Go engage in your relationships. Go engage in your work. Go engage with all of the things that I've called you to do on this earth. But I need you to have this rhythm where you're going to come away and spend time with me. And if you delight in me, if you do that, trust me. Regardless of the circumstances that you find yourself in, I'm going to make you transcend those circumstances. Because if you delight in me, you're going to recognize that you do not have your hope in your accomplishments, that you do not have your hope in your stuff, that you do not have your hope in your relationships, that you do not have your hope in your beauty or people's opinions of you or whatever it may be, your fulfillment of your own dreams, that none of that is your hope, that I am your hope. Take delight in me. Because let me tell you something, whether you achieve what you're hoping to achieve in this life or you don't, either way, it's going to let you down. Because if you don't achieve what you hope to achieve, well, there's disappointment, right? But if you achieve everything you hope for and you realize that at the end of the day, as the most wise man who's ever lived, Solomon said, that it's all just a chasing after the wind. That you're running around trying to grab at the wind and you can't catch wind. And if you think that your delight and your satisfaction in this life that God has called you to is by getting all the right circumstances because you've accomplished all the right things, if you think that that is going to give you fulfillment, you're in for a shock. Why is there so much celebrity gossip? Because these are people who have lived out the height of what we think is all wonderful and good in our culture. Fame and wealth and popularity and notoriety. They've gotten it all and their lives are in shambles. Because there's no way that we can manipulate our circumstances enough to be fulfilled. And what God is calling us into is a completely opposite reality. To turn that on its head and to say, hey, listen, I've given you a set of circumstances. And some of your circumstances are fantastic. And some of them are going to be hard. And some of them are going to be right in the middle. And you're going to have ebbs and flows and good days and bad days. And that's life. And what I want to call you into is caring for your soul in such a way that you convince yourself of the truth that your delight must be in me for you to be able to find satisfaction regardless of your circumstances. Paul said it this way. He said, I have found the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry. Whether well or sick, whether free or imprisoned, I have learned the secret of being content, of transcending above my circumstances. And you want to know what it is? That no matter what it is that I've been called to do on this earth, whether it's privilege or poverty, whether it's abundance or lack, whether it's ease or difficulty, whatever I've been called to, you know what? I can do everything through Jesus who strengthens me. See, that's what the Apostle Paul said. And he lived a life of incredible victory in some areas, amazing things that he got to see and experience, people healed and raised from the dead and saved and baptized and discipled and planting churches and all kinds of awesome things that Paul got to be a part of. But he was also shipwrecked several times. I mean, you want to talk about some bad luck? Like, what are the odds of being shipwrecked? Several times. Bad. And Paul experienced that. He was beaten so many times within an inch of his life. He was stoned, not the Colorado kind, just the with rocks, stoned to death. Near death. And then he ended up giving his life, as he said in Philippians, that he was giving his life as a drink offering as he poured his life out, literally poured his blood out on the Colosseum in Rome as he was martyred for his faith. And Paul said, I found the secret of being content, that I can do everything through Christ, that I have this rhythm in my life that I go and I work, and Paul worked. That I can live these circumstances out. And man, he had some circumstances. But I found the secret of contentment. It's not whether or not my circumstances are good, but that when I find my delight in the Lord, that he rises me above to transcend my circumstances, whether good, bad, or indifferent. And I'm able to live my life for his glory. That's what Paul said. And if you and I have any hope of living our life through our circumstances in a way that glorifies God, if we have any hope of that, we need to take our delight in the Lord. You know, Jesus lived 33 years as a human being on planet Earth. The God of the universe stripped his attributes of divinity away so that he could come into our story and rescue us. He began his journey on this planet in the womb of a teenage girl. Can you imagine being the God of the universe, having all power, knowledge, wisdom, understanding, being omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, and being a single cell in the body of a teenage girl, and growing in a womb, being birthed and helpless on this planet and living a life full of circumstances. Jesus had difficult circumstances. He didn't live this charmed life where he was walking around glowing all the time with his blonde hair and his blue eyes and his flowing locks, you know? Jesus had difficult circumstances. His best friends died. Joseph, who raised him, most people believe Joseph died when Jesus was still very young. He had his family and his friends speak to him in ways that he didn't deserve to be spoken to. They ridiculed him. He had one of his disciples who spent 3 years in ministry with him betray him with a kiss for 30 pieces of silver, offer him up to be executed by Rome. And Jesus dealt with circumstances, and there were moments where he was taxed and he was burdened and he was out and he was doing ministry and he was working hard. But then the book of Luke records that in Luke chapter 5 verse 16 that Jesus would often go to a lonely place. He would often withdraw to a lonely place to be with his Father. And today I just want to let you know that no matter who you are, no matter how strong you are or weak you are, no matter how smart you are, that if the God of the universe, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, needed to go spend time with his Father, you do too. And I do too. We need God. We need to take care of our souls by delighting in God so that we can live out the circumstances of our lives in a way that honors and glorifies him and makes him look glorious and beautiful. See, we can't do that on our own. We can't do this life by ourselves. We need God. If Jesus needed to spend time with the Father. We do too. And what a beautiful thing it is. This last weekend, we had a guy named Steve Smith come and share some things with our staff. And some of this content is kind of borrowed from him. And he shared with our staff at Mosaic, the pastors and the elders and the leaders. And coming away from that weekend, I just recognized how much clutter and noise and distraction and busyness and struggle there is in my mind and in my heart and my soul, and how that plays itself out into my circumstances so often that I rarely in my circumstances am able to keep my perspective on God and His glory and being able to rise above them because I'm not delighting in the Lord. You know, I mean, it should be easy for me, right? I get paid to do this stuff, right? But it's not. And I imagine for all of us in this place, we find that it's challenging and difficult and it's a struggle. But if Jesus needed it, we do too. You know, it's a really interesting thing. I read an article that in Israel, every 7 years, the farmers give the land a rest. They take a year and allow the land to breathe and regroup and rest, and reset. And I imagine for those farmers, it's difficult to do that, right? It's probably pretty difficult to let that land sit there and not produce crops that earn them money. And yet they believe that if they're obedient to trust God, that God will provide His way for their needs. As they allow the land to rest, that the provision of God is found there. You guys, if land needs rest, if Jesus Christ needs rest, we need rest. And not rest for the sake of sleeping, necessarily. Not rest for the sake of vacation and relaxing. And all of you guys know that vacations are often not very relaxing. Hashtag Disney meltdown. You know what I'm saying? Rest for the sake of communing with the God who created you, who knows you by name, who knows the number of hairs on your head. What a weird statistic. But the God who knows you and loves you created you perfectly with a need for Him because He wanted to give you the best thing there is in the universe, Himself. So as we consider this life that we are called to, it's going to be full of relationships and in a context of a community, we're going to have stuff and we're going to be in circumstances. And what God desires for us is that we would live our lives in such a way that when people experience us and see us, that they will know that there is a God who loves us, who made us, who cares for us. And we can't do that on our own. You guys, we have been called into this incredible privilege of showing who God is to the world. And if we delight in Him and take care of our souls, then no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in, we'll be able to rise above those circumstances knowing that God is in control. He loves us. He's caring for us. I'm going to invite the worship band to come back up. And what I want to do is I just want to take a few minutes tonight to just kind of quiet our souls. This is a very difficult and often uncomfortable discipline to get into. But Jesus went away to lonely places, not to be alone or to be isolated, but so that He could be with the Father. Tonight, I just want to give you some space. Here in this place, we've read from God's word, we've considered this idea of our life and the circumstances that we live in that we often have no control over. See, I have no idea what your circumstances are. I don't. Good, bad, hopeful, despair. I don't know where you're at tonight. But I do know who you need. So tonight I want to take time as the worship team just begins to play and just allow some space for us. I just want to take some time to be silent-ish. To be silent together. To be still together. And to commune with the Father. See, all of you come into this place with different stuff and different circumstances, and I can't help you with those things, but God can. God can address those things. You can talk with God about your circumstances, and He loves that. You can commune with your Father tonight. You can spend time with Him here in this place. Just want to encourage all of us, let's just close our eyes for a couple of minutes. And we're just going to be silent. I want to encourage you to commune with God. No matter if you're not sure about His existence or what you believe about Him or what His characteristics are, or if you know Him as your Father, wherever you're at, my prayer tonight is that you would reach out to God. The Bible says that if we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. So we'll do that for a few moments, and I'm just going to pray to close out that time, and then we're going to respond in worship and in singing. So let's just take a few moments together, commune with the Father. More minutes, let's just stay here in this place. God, we come to you tonight and we confess that we live a life that surrounds us with so many different circumstances that weigh on our hearts and on our minds and take our time and our energy and our effort. And God, we confess that it is difficult to spend downtime and to spend time disconnecting from all of the cares of this world. And when we do, it's hard to spend time chasing after you, God. After y'all, you're an invisible God. We don't experience you with our eyes or the natural senses that we have, but God, we can experience you at such a deeper level, even more real than our senses. And God, I pray you would help us to delight in you. God, our Father, you love us and you created us. You've given us life. God, help us to spend moments throughout our days to connect with you and to engage with you. God, help us to engage with you in rhythm of Sabbath and peace and rest in your presence. God, as we take care of our souls in this way, you would use us, regardless of our circumstances, to show people who you are. God, as we connect our heart to your heart, that people would see you in us. God, help us to take care of our souls so that we can live this life for your glory. We worship you tonight, God. You guys can see.